Good morning, I'm Paul Graham. Another edition of Talk to the Experts on your Sunday morning. My guest this morning, no stranger to Radio NL and the listeners, Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic. Back in the studio, how are you?
Very good, thanks, Paul. How have you been?
Still trying to get over this cold.
Yeah.
I had it for a couple of weeks already. Yeah, we were at the hospital a couple of weeks ago for the foundation, raised a whole bunch of money, and Howie and I walked out of there with something. I don't know what we did, but...
Well, at least it was for a good cause.
That's right. That's what really matters. Speaking of which, a number of times in the different occasions you've been here, Cindy, I've often asked you about upgrading or going to school or learning more techniques, and that's an ongoing thing for you, and you're going through that right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm right now in the process of getting permission to do dentistry in the hospitals here in Kamloops.
Now, I want to tell the folks that you sort of kind of did this in Calgary before you came to Kamloops, did you not?
I did, yeah. I was in Calgary for almost a year doing exactly that. The Foothills Hospital in Calgary has an actual dental clinic in the hospital. You'll find that that's the case in a lot of big city centers. If you've never needed to go to, say, Vancouver or Calgary for this sort of thing, it must sound a little bit strange, something unexpected. But that's what I did for almost an entire year, and I'm finding I kind of miss it.
Royal Inland Hospital does not have a dental clinic?
No.
And now they're in the process of putting something like this together?
Well, what they have is a lot of dentists in town, for one thing, try to be involved in the hospital in terms of being available for emergencies. So if somebody walks into the hospital with a dental emergency, there should be one of us available to assist or at least offer some guidance or support, if not come into the hospital and give you some kind of a basic treatment. And then some of the other dentists as well have privileges to do dental treatment in the operating rooms, whether that's in the hospital itself or in the private surgical center on Columbia Street.
Really?
Yeah.
So the plans are what then, to actually put a dental clinic in the hospital?
No, it's we're too small of a center to do that. The need isn't really there. But what we're all trying to do is just make sure that we are able to offer those kinds of services to the patients that really need it. If you're the type of patient that is, say, quite sick or special needs, or a young child with extensive dental treatment that can't necessarily be done in the private clinic in a good, you know, a good amount of time, or without there being risks of complications, things like this, then we want to be able to provide those services in the hospital, you know, so that the anesthesiologists and the hospital techs that know their side of things can properly medicate patients to manage their medical health while we take care of their dental health.
Now, you working in a hospital such as the RRH without a dental clinic, does this hamper what you can do professionally as what you can do at your own clinic?
I'm hoping not. I'm not sure how much it's going to impinge on the amount of time that I'm in my own clinic. Right now we're only open Monday through Thursday anyway, so my Fridays are my own. Right now it's a lot of paperwork days, but I think spending as many Fridays as I could, say in the surgical center or in the Royal Inland Hospital in the operating rooms, treating these kinds of patients that I have the skill, the knowledge, and the drive to want to help, I think that would be really excellent.
And your forte, if you will, are kids. You love to work on the kids, don't you?
I do, and I want to do so much more for them than is sometimes possible in the private dental clinic. I mean, kids, if they're too little, or they're just their needs are so great, or the financial burden is too great for their parents, I'm so desperate to find an avenue that is going to make it possible for me to help them.
For dentists like yourself to work in the hospital, and there are some fine dentists here, you already know that, you've told me that.
Oh, yes.
Are there enough dentists to supply the need that the hospital would require, or is it the other way around? There's maybe not enough dentists that can go over and help out.
It really depends. A lot of dentists don't find that hospital dentistry is really within their comfort zone or within their interest.
Is that a specialized area?
Not necessarily, but it is. You know, there's so many different fields of dentistry that we've talked about, right, Paul? You've got the gum treatments, you know, crown and bridge aesthetic, cosmetic dentistry, you know, and then basic dentistry, surgery, lots of different avenues. And when you're a general dentist, you find the things that you like, and you do those things. And so for your dentist that, say, wants to do cosmetics, you know, they're really focused on how things look and the beauty of it all, they're not going to really be interested in going into the hospital because that's not the one, the kind of patient population.
It's not their forte.
Yeah. It's just not something that they need to do. And then there's also, like you mentioned, the possibility of having to take time away from your own practice to be in a different location. That can be very stressful and time-consuming as well.
Do you find a lot of folks who don't live in Kamloops, they live outside of Kamloops, and they don't have a dental clinic in their area? I can't think of one right now, but they may utilize this hospital idea?
Again, it would really depend. I mean, if you're coming from, say, you know, 4 hours away, you can still come to the dental clinic and have all of your dental work done in a private office. The hospital is really there for people who are very sick or who have special needs, or in my opinion, or small children. Some other dentists will also take, you know, very phobic patients, patients who are absolutely terrified of things. If they need to be knocked right out, well, then maybe that's a possibility. But again, when you think about the hospital, it's also based on need, right? So if you're, you know, need your wisdom teeth out, let's say, and you're terrified of the dentist, which is very valid, and I don't hold it against
you
at
all.
There
is a phobia.
Absolutely. There's lots of dental phobias. I get that. I sympathize with that so very much. But is it fair for you to get to go into the hospital instead of a three-year-old child who has 8 dental abscesses?
Wow.
So your wait time is going to be a year, maybe 2 years. To enable us to get those children in the door, the children that really need it, because they cannot be treated outside the hospital. So, and then if you do have those things, you know, if you need your wisdom teeth out and you're really scared, there are things we can actually do in the clinic as well. You know, you don't have to get knocked out. You can be sedated very, very, very comfortably in the dental clinic, very safely, in the right hands. And that's another option too. And then your wait time is a lot less, and it makes more sense, and it frees up the system, the medical system, to absorb those patients that really need this.
Is there such a thing as a walk-in dental clinic?
I'm a walk-in dental clinic.
Yeah,
you come in the door, and if you're in pain, I'll see you. It doesn't really matter what time.
You'll
or
make the time, right?
Oh, absolutely. We actually set aside emergency time every day in case someone walks in, because we don't want people to be sent away. We will do anything in our power to see you, you know, within reason, obviously. and most dentists, I'm sure, in town would feel the same way. I mean, we're booked and we're busy, but we won't turn you away if you're hurting.
What I thought was kind of cool, and I don't know how long ago we had the conversation, long weekends and that kind of thing, Christmas period. You said that the dentist in Kamloops, they kind of work on a rotating thing for emergencies where they'll, you know, suggest a dentist to do any emergency work, even on Sundays and holidays.
Yeah. I mean, when something comes up on the weekend, you can call me. You can call the clinic. You will get in touch with me. You know, I'll get back to you as soon as I can, kind of thing. And if there's something that I can do for you, I will. And it's the same thing for anybody else in town. If it's, you know, say Christmas holidays or you're going out of town, then we typically find someone else in town to cover us. So the phone message will often say, you know, thank you for calling Horizon Dental. We're sorry we're closed. If this is an emergency, press 7, and you'll be transferred to the emergency dentist on call. And whether that's me or somebody else, we do whatever we can to make sure that you are going to be taken care of.
That's pretty neat.
It's our responsibility. It's one of the privileges of being a dentist. We get to take care of people.
You called it a privilege. That's pretty nice.
It is a privilege. I believe that with all my heart.
That's great. We're talking with Dr. Cindy Nagel with Horizon Dental Clinic, and she is talking about hospital dentistry, and it's a fairly new idea for Kamloops, is it not, Cindy?
There's been several dentists in town who have been going in and out of the hospital doing things for 35 years. It's been there. It's just that it is very challenging to get people into the hospital, again, because a lot of it's based on need. So if your appointment is scheduled for Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning, if a car accident happens, your appointment is going to be canceled. It's just part of the hardships of trying to get things done in the medical system, is that you may have reserved time, but that is only reserved if something more life-threatening doesn't come up.
You mentioned car accidents, and, you know, sometimes the mouth does get damaged. The steering wheel, the biggest contributor to that.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, and you know, you walk in there, you really don't know what you're walking into, do you?
No, everybody's different. You don't know what's salvageable. You don't know what's not. You don't know how bad it is until you actually get in there and start working.
Once again, Cindy Nagel back in the studio with Horizon Dental Clinic. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about, well, let's talk about the Syrian refugees who are now coming to Canada. And there's been some problems that have been detected, and I'd like to get Cindy's point of view as well. That's next on Talk to the Experts on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. I'm Paul Graham, Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic in the studio, and we were talking about hospital dentistry. And I want to completely change subjects, Cindy. As you know, Canada has agreed to bring in some 25,000 Syrian refugees to our country to help lessen the burden that's going on the other side of the ocean. And I was reading a piece a week ago from an Ontario dentist who happened to have a look at a refugee family. I believe it was in Toronto. It could have been in Ottawa. It doesn't matter. But this dentist says he's never seen anything like what he's seeing right now from some of these Syrian refugees and the neglect. And, you know, the list went on and on and on. Is this doctor correct, do you think? I don't know.
In some ways, yes. The Syrian refugees, their burden of disease is very, very high. It's quite extraordinary. It's quite sad. I really feel for a lot of them. So far, I know of one family, for example, that's in Kamloops. It's a family of four. The parents both are going to lose a lot of teeth. I think that the female is going to lose all of her teeth at this point. And their two children, they're also not doing so well. There's a lot of infection. There's a lot of disease there. And it is very distressing. But in terms of, you know, never having seen anything like this, I was mentioning to you earlier, I don't know if this dentist in Ontario has ever been to northern Saskatchewan, but I guarantee you they'll see the same thing there.
Really? Yeah, the northern prairies, the natives.
Unfortunately, yes. Their burden of disease is also very high. They don't have access to good health care good dental health care because they're so far outside of any of the cities. There aren't that many rural dentists in those areas, and they don't have great health care, and they don't also get a lot of the education that we're trying to promote in terms of taking care of teeth and oral health and hygiene at home.
This must break your heart when you see this.
It really does. It's just so, you reach out, you feel like you want to reach out to them, you know, you feel for them. It's one of those things that you just, I can imagine a lot of dentists would look at and just think, my goodness, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to help with this? What's going to happen with this? And it's probably very overwhelming for a lot of practitioners that are going to be seeing a lot of these refugees. And again, it's the same thing with even some of our own population, where they just, it's incredible the amount of burden of disease that they endure.
Did you just say you're working with one of the families now?
Yes, I was contacted by one of the dentists in town that's sponsoring one of the families because of the children that are with them. And she was asking my assistance in, you know, figuring out what we're going to do with these kids. So I was lucky enough to meet this little guy. He's a really sweet little kid, and we're going to get
How
him patched up.
What kind of age?
He's 8.
8 years old, okay.
Yes, he has a younger brother, I think. I didn't meet him. I'm not sure how old he is.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a sweet little kid. We'll get him figured out.
Well, an 8-year old with all these problems, you mentioned what, the infections, and
yes,
with that probably a lot of decay and stuff. Those are adult teeth by this time, right?
Thankfully, no.
Oh.
Most of the problems that he's having right now are still with his baby teeth, so we've found a silver lining to it all. At least the permanent teeth, when they come in, they should be healthy. And, you know, now that he's getting to the point where he's going to have access to proper nutrition and proper health care here, those teeth should come in and hopefully replace all the bad ones, and we'll be okay.
What was his attitude like?
He was very hesitant. He also didn't speak any English. So it was the communication barrier brought me back to my days in Quebec, where neither one of us really knew what the other was saying. It's a lot of smiling and hand signals and just a lot of blind faith, I guess.
You didn't use the laughing gas, did you? You're the only person I know who uses laughing gas.
A lot of us use it, but no, not for a look. No. Besides, laughing gas requires some level of cooperation. That's why it's not the great solution to all of my problems as much as I wish it would be. I mean, they have to be willing to breathe in and out of their nose or it's not going to work.
Getting back to this 8-year-old now and others like this young guy, we've got a lot of infection, a lot of rotten teeth because of it, and thankfully, like you say, it's his baby teeth that were affected, and the adult teeth should come back in. It must be quite a process to turn all of this around.
Yeah, it is. I mean, imagine if you've gone through the process of having one tooth removed in your lifetime. Imagine what it's going to be to have 10 taken out.
Wow.
And are we going to do that all in one shot? What is that going to be like? What is it going to be like afterward when there's no teeth in there to chew on and we've got gums that are trying to heal and so many other things that just crossed through my mind with that question.
Where do you start? Like, what's the process? Take us through that.
You got to start with the basics. You got to start with your baseline information. You need to know what you're dealing with medically. So, how healthy is this child? Do they have their vaccinations? Have they had any history of dental work before? What has their experience been like? We need all of that information. I need to look at him. I need to see what I'm dealing with. I need x-rays, again, so that I can see what I'm dealing with. And then from there, you have to try and figure out what their expectations are as well. Some parents don't mind if their child is going to have a bunch of teeth removed, and some parents are very concerned about what's going to happen in terms of the looks. For example, some families, they'll ask me, what about braces or something? Can we do something with braces and to close the spaces or to hold something there? And the answer to that, unfortunately, in a lot of these cases, is not right now. I know that it's probably concerning, especially for school-age children. They're going to lose a lot of teeth.
Yeah.
There's the possibility of being teethed, which I...
peer pressure thing.
Yeah, peer pressure, all these awful things that they have to deal with. So for parents, I know that there's big concerns for them as well. But everything that we do has to be done in sequence. I mean, if you have a mouthful of cavities, I'm not going to at all even recommend braces until you've got that under control.
Well, what are braces? Braces are for straightening, are they not?
Yeah.
Not for holding teeth in.
No, some people get a little bit confused about that sometimes. You'd be surprised. We get some good questions sometimes. And a lot of it is just not quite knowing even the terminology, right? I mean, what they think braces are might be different from what I use that word for. So it's a communication. It's asking questions and it's getting everybody on the same page so that we all understand what we're trying to get to.
Now, you've been up against this before. This isn't new to you to see a child like the 8-year-old we've been discussing. After the fact, maybe 2-3 years down the road, and you see that child that you've been working on all this time, and I guess you see a huge difference in the child. Of course, the child's smiling, child's happy, the hygiene is kicked in, the mouth is clean, the teeth are straight, and the child's got a brand new life, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's that new lease on life kind of idea, right?
Yeah.
It's very rewarding to see that, to have started somewhere that seemed just so overwhelming and so overburdened, to take somebody and to get them out of pain and to help them feel better, help them so that they can eat properly, so that they're healthy, and then start teaching them how to take care of themselves, and it turns it around and it gets them to the point where, they're as happy to see me as I am to see them.
I'll bet you the confidence level just is over the top.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I know that it's just so hard for kids.
Yeah, the bottom line is the peer pressure thing.
Yeah, it's something that I take into consideration. I mean, I know what that's like to be in a school where you've got kids that are going to be really mean to you, and teeth are a big part of that. Kids get teased about their teeth in ways that wouldn't even occur to me. I remember specifically several years ago, there was one sweet little boy. I want to say he was maybe about 11 years old, and he's ginger. And gingers tend to have teeth that seem yellower.
Okay.
Some of that, I think, is to do with just their overall coloring, that they're quite pale and they've got the red hair, so they're colored a little bit more paley. And the yellow in their teeth just seems to shine through much more. And this poor little guy was being teased for his yellow teeth, and it wasn't anything he was doing wrong. He was keeping them clean. He was trying so hard, and he just did not understand. And he was getting teased to no end. and they were nice and straight and beautiful, healthy, wonderful teeth that just seemed too yellow. And he really wanted them whitened, or he wanted us to do something. And at that point, it's really hard because a lot of that is just the way he is.
Well, as he grows up, does that some of that disappear, the coloring?
Sometimes it does change a bit, but even most adults, you'll see that the color is still a little bit different there, and it's just the way society is right now, too. It's a cultural thing, right? We look at the Hollywood smile, the big, white, straight teeth, and the giant veneers that nobody else has in the world, but, it's George Clooney and Hilary Duff, they've got these great big teeth, right? and that's what we look for in beauty and things like this, and it's just amazing.
The epitome of cosmetic.
Yes, and it seems silly in some ways, but it just can be such a big deal, especially when you're 11.
Dr. Cindy Nagel in the studio from Horizon Dental Clinic. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about something that she's going to embark on in Vancouver. That's next on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. Dr. Cindy Nagel in the studio from Horizon Dental Clinic. Cindy, we've covered a lot of ground, some serious ground. I'm going to lighten it up a little bit, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Now, you're always learning. You're always educating yourself. And you just got back from Vancouver from a dental conference, a Pacific Dental Conference. It's a regional thing?
Yes, the PDC, the Pacific Dental Conference. It's the biggest dental conference in Western Canada.
And what is the purpose of this?
Well, probably for a lot of people to go to Vancouver and drink, but that depends on what you're going for. The conference, it's huge. Pacific Center down on the waterfront there, is the whole thing is taken over, including several of the hotels in the surrounding area. They all have the big conference rooms, and they all host different things. So we have a lot of continuing education courses that go on over the 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are... It's usually two a day, so one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And then the giant convention floor is just full of dental vendors. So it's just nothing but dental supplies from, like, wall to wall.
Oh,
it's
this
crazy.
Is a chance for the sales guys to show off their stuff, too, eh?
Yeah, it's a chance for them to show off. There's demonstrations. You can test run some of the equipment. They'll try and talk you into buying it, of course. And you get lots of sales and discounts and deals, which... as a new clinic, we really appreciate.
Yeah, you're always continuing to build out there. So how many dentists would attend this? Or is it just for dentists?
It's just for dentists, but also staff. And then
the
sales reps.
And that kind of thing?
Yeah, we took the whole office.
Oh, okay.
All of us went. We have eight people now. All eight of us went down there. We drove down on Wednesday and then attended the conference for 2 days. And then Angus and I came back on the last day there.
Well, that's great. And it's a big conference, and you're talking about innovations. Do you get to learn anything new?
Because a lot of the continuing ed is somewhat sponsored by the vendors that are there, if they have any new tech or anything that they want to show off, there'll be something there that you can kind of learn about. So if they have a new, mill for crowns or new something like this, they'll have a course on how to use it to try and entice you to buy one. Or if you have bought one, then you get the chance to learn more about it. So it's really cool stuff.
Now, with you and what you do, you don't cover every single aspect of dentistry. I don't think any dentist does. But there's a lot of things you may not use, but you're kind of curious.
Absolutely. And it's a nice way to get more information about something that I'm not sure I need or want yet without having to invest anything other than a little bit of my time.
Yeah. Do you get to trade stories at all?
Yeah, it's a great chance to network.
Meet and greet, eh?
Exactly. And you get to see people that you probably only see them when they go to the conference. There's people come from all over the country. Some people come up from the States. And it's a chance for me to see some people that I even went to school with or that are
really?
Working. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I'm going to tell the folks, you went to McGill to get your degree.
I did.
Yeah. Do you run into former students when you went to McGill?
Yep. There were quite a few people from BC that went to McGill, whether in my class or in some of the other ones. And a lot of people, again, because of how big this conference is, people will come from Ontario, Quebec to come and attend it to get in on some of the action.
Is this the only conference of its kind in Canada, or is there one, say, in Toronto or in a place like that?
I've never heard of one in Toronto, but I don't really get out to Ontario all that much.
You're lucky.
I think so. Montreal does, though. They have what is it? I can't even remember the acronym anywhere, but they have a version of it in Montreal, and I did attend that one a few years in a row when I was at school. It's very similar, although I do think that the Pacific Dental Conference is actually a bit bigger, and it's quite nicer.
I'm assuming there's a number of guest speakers as well in these conferences.
Yes.
And do they come from around the world, or is that just from the neighborhood?
There are some people that are coming from quite far off. This year, it's a lot of local people, actually. And what's nice, too, is that they're all experts in their field as well. So you know that a lot of these experts are in and around, BC, Washington, Oregon, all of these areas that are nice and close to us. So it actually gives you a chance to connect with people that you can learn more from later.
Yeah, you get to pick their brains, eh?
Oh, yeah. I chew every chance I get.
Exchanging phone numbers and the like?
Yep. This is my email. Don't block me.
What's the benefit when you get back home to Kamloops and back into your clinic? Do you look around and you think, I could have used something I just saw here or anything like that?
Well, that was kind of going last year. We were building the clinic last year. So when Angus and I went to the Pacific Dental Conference in 2015, we were buying all of our major equipment at the time. So I got to go and see all the brand new stuff, and I got to see all the different things and even do a little bit of price shopping and, trying to stay smart. But it really gave me a chance to see all of my alternatives and measure them and decide what I really wanted. And it was really cool.
Where's most of the equipment made? In Canada, in the States, abroad?
A lot of it's made in the States. For example, our chairs and our cabinetry all came from just outside Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
That's all made in Portland. They have a huge facility there called ADEC. And they do everything. They hand stitch the upholstery. Like, it's
wow.
Crazy. They build everything, I think, but the computer circuit boards. And that is made in a factory down the street or something ridiculous. It's all local, which is just really cool. And we got to see that facility as well in 2015. And we got to tour it and see how they make it. That was fun, too.
With you at Horizon Dental Clinic, you're still brand new. You opened last, September, didn't you?
Yeah, I think we're on our 6 months or so.
It's absolutely amazing how far you've come in that short time.
Absolutely.
But Angus has put together a terrific business plan for you. And,
yes.
And it got you off the ground, and look where you are today, and look where you're going to be in that five-year plan that Angus has put together. But my question is, being so young at your location, you're young too.
Oh, yes.
But with the clinic being as young as it is at that location you're at, out there in Brock, is there a big want list and a big need list, and you have trouble juggling the balls on that?
At the moment, I think we're keeping up really well. We have lots of patients that are interested in coming. We're still able to make time for them. That's why we had to hire so many new staff over the last few months here, is to keep up with that demand. But we still have, I think our waiting list to see the hygienist is only maybe 2 weeks away. To see myself, it's usually, maybe a week or two instead of, say 6 months, what some of the other dentists in town are looking at.
Is that the norm, 6 months?
For some places, yeah, 3 to 6 months.
Is that right?
It can take a while, for sure. And as we keep growing, that's part of, like you said, Angus's business plan. We have enough room for a second dentist and more hygienists so that we can accommodate more patients and help more people. So the more people we get, the more people we can hire, the more we can do.
But in order to do so, you've got to buy equipment, and I'm sure that's not cheap.
Yes. No,
so
that's not cheap.
Lots of different things you want, right?
Well, yeah. I think if we had our way, we'd have the place full and running, and we'd be just booming with stuff to do. But yeah, we're a little bit limited in terms of how much money we can spend all in one shot. But there's lots of different ways to approach it, and thankfully I have a really good business manager who seems to understand how well that works, and he advises me, and we just go from there. It's been great.
You still got that little kids play area one corner?
It's looking much better since the last time you were there. It has a TV.
Oh, no.
And a little table and chairs and more toys and some plants and everything. It's really cute, actually.
So what's next? After this conference that you've been on with you and the staff, is there something coming up again down the road that you have to attend?
That I have to attend? No. That I want to attend? Yes. I don't have as much time in my schedule as I used to for this kind of stuff, but we still make a lot of time for it. I think the next thing that's scheduled right now is in the summer. I'm doing some advanced training with the laser that we talked about previously. So that means we have to, poor me, I have to go down to California for a week. Oh.
In the summertime?
In the middle of summer. Oh.
Just all that heat and everything.
I like the heat. It's all good. Sorry, you live in Kamloops. It's warm here.
Your good friend, Preeti Desai, she's big time on the lasers in her practice as well.
Yes.
And you say you've got the same kind of thing?
Yes, okay. I do. I have the same laser. I have the same equipment. When there's a case that's very complex or that I think Preeti would do a better job on, I defer to her. She is fabulous. But that laser, it can really make a difference for people.
Yeah, it's just another toy, huh?
Well, that too.
Technology, it seems to change. I mean, once you've bought something, it's almost antiquated. Is that true with dentistry?
Well, yes and no. In some ways, it really depends on what it is. There's a lot of things in dentistry that haven't changed a lot. And then there's some that are just sort of the standard norms. Like, for example, now that the X-ray technology is at the level that it is, there's probably very little change that I could see happening. I mean, I know where they gained efficiency previously in terms of being able to lower the radiation dose and be more effective with the images that we get, and then integrating it into a computer system instead of having the old films.
Right.
Now that we've reached that stage, I don't expect there to be a lot of jumps in tech. There'll be different ways of doing things, for example, but I don't think that it'll change a ton in terms of the overall quality or the way we do things. But then again, I mean, they've taken the dental chair and improved it. I don't know how many times. I mean, I'd love to know.
I've seen that chair you've got.
Well, I'm wondering what iteration of that.
My living room.
It's like a recliner. It's fabulous.
It really
you can
is.
Sleep in it. It's wonderful. I don't know what iteration that is, but it's probably like the thousandth version of it. So it's funny where you think about like the technology that goes into the chair you're sitting on. There's actually a lot more there than you would expect, as opposed to the technology that went into, I don't know, say the X-ray machine again. The chair has probably been improved on a lot more, and a lot more thought gone into it than the X-ray machine.
Cindy, we're right out of time. How do folks get a hold of you?
We are located in Brock, just past the Brock Shopping Center on the left side. You can call us at 778-765-3928 or visit our website at www.horizondental.clinic.
Dr. Cindy Nagel of Horizon Dental Clinic in the studio with us this morning. It's been a slice. That was a great conversation. How about we do this again about a month from now?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Don't forget, you can get the full show on our website, radionl.com. At the top of the homepage, just click on the audio vault and follow the links from there. That's it for this edition of Talk to the Experts. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great day.